Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio, and we have a great show with a wonderful guest who is extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. Today, we're discussing the topic of saving money on multifamily maintenance. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a sought-after speaker and trainer, the fantastic Chris Caramonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residential. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
Well, Chris, you chose a topic today that I think is everybody could use this information for, and hopefully everybody's tuning in, because saving money on multifamily maintenance is something that has kind of been difficult to do over the last several years with a lot of the issues that we've gone through pandemic-wise and then with the great resignation and all of that. So I'm interested in finding out what you have, but one of the things you said to me is you have to spend money to save money. What does that mean?
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, the old adage is you have to spend money to make money, right? And we're in the business of making money. We, you know, we rent apartments. We're, you know, constantly looking at amenities and opportunities, value adds to our communities. But, you know, I'm trying to flip the script a little bit and say, you know, you really need to spend money to save money. There's a lot of different ways that you could spend money to save money. And though it may seem counterintuitive, but with the rising costs that we are seeing currently in supplies, you're right. You said it earlier, COVID and supply chain issues have definitely affected the cost of goods. About 80% of the rising costs are being passed directly to the consumer, which is in, you know, this world, us, mm-hmm. and multifamily. And then we are absorbing those costs, but our rents and the money that we're receiving from our tenants is not increasing at the same level, right? So we have to find ways to really kind of be, you know, a little bit more frugal, but at the same time, we want to save money in the right places. And as costs continue to exponentially increase, what we're going to need to do is spend more money on certain things so we can save money later.
And so with the cost of utilities going up and also the supply chain issues you mentioned, tell me a little bit about as far as the labor force goes. That's got to be costly in a lot of ways. I mean, I can think of just on my own of you know, during the pandemic, you couldn't get into units to do normal preventive maintenance things, and so that piles up, and your workforce is hard to keep in place, and there's the turnover. So those preventative issues turn into real issues at some time. That costs money. What can you do there?
So, you know, one of the things that you can really do is make sure that you're saving money the right way. We really want to look at not just our internal labor costs are increasing, which I think we'll talk a little bit more about that in a bit, but exterior factors, exterior labor costs, the use of vendors and suppliers. We're seeing costs increase across the board, and we're not making smart decisions to help drive down our future costs. There's a lot of opportunity in using different supplies and materials that are currently on the market to drive down things like utility costs. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, I'm not going to name any companies or organizations, but, you know, there's an old adage in the maintenance business, the big box store special, which is the cheapest, most cost-effective light fixture or faucet that you would get from a major supplier. Mm-hmm. The problem is that they are the cheapest for a reason. And by going through, and one of my maintenance managers recently said to me, you spend more money to be being cheap. And it really resounded with me, which is the, you know, onus of this conversation today, is if you spend a little bit more money on a faucet, that's a little bit of a higher quality, while it might cost you more money, you're going to save more money in the long term with the labor to replace that item in the future or repair that item in the future. You're also going to increase your resident satisfaction because the least amount of, as we lessen work orders for residents that are living in our units and using these items, and what you're doing is that you're increasing their satisfaction the less that they have to actually call your maintenance department.
We got about 5 minutes left in this segment, but tell me a little bit about what you're hearing owners say.
Well, as a director of facilities, I often am the guy delivering the bad news. In maintenance and in facilities, we're never the ones that get to call the owner and say, oh, I made you, you know, $100,000 this week or this month. Usually it's, I have to spend $100,000 to fix a problem. Every time I talk to an owner, and I've had several over the last couple of years, that every time I call them, they say, how come every time I talk to you, it costs me money? And it hurts my feelings. It does. But it's my job. I'm here to deliver the bad news, unfortunately. It could be a repair that came out of nowhere. It could be an emergency, fire, flood, or some kind of, you know, catastrophic event that was completely unforeseen. In the world that I live in, I deal with a lot of affordable housing as a director of facilities. Mm-hmm. One of the big things that I address is HUD REAC inspections. So recently I had a property complete an owner complete a $35 million rehab. Really, really great rehab. But then we received a REAC notice, which is, you know, part of the normal operating procedure in my business. So I had to call that owner and said, I have to spend about $80,000 to $100,000 of your money next week. And he said, but I don't understand. I just spent $35 million on the rehab. Well, unfortunately, there was about $100,000 worth of work that wasn't spent, that was needed. There was still outstanding work that was not part of the rehab scope. So unfortunately, we have to do that work. But the goal is to, you know, provide residents with the easiest and best and safest living environments. And to spend that extra $100,000 would do that. And would also, you know, meet the guidelines of the HUD's REAC Center.
So, you know, we started out this segment, we've got about 3 minutes left, but we started out this segment where you made the statement that you have to spend money to save money. So is there a way to truly measure the savings when you spend more?
You know, everybody wants, anytime I bring up, I want to buy something new or I want to, you know, do something, everyone's like, okay, so what's going to be the return on the investment? A lot of times you can quantify it. You can quantify the labor costs. You can quantify the reduction of man hours that you would need for future replacements. But unfortunately, sometimes you can't. There is some really good, if you have a good work order system and you have, or you're keeping track of the items that you're repairing on the regular basis or appliances that you have to replace or, you know, common issues, it makes it a little bit easier to make your case that you have to spend more money now on a certain type of appliance or a certain type of faucet, and in turn, you're going to save money later. One of the things I did many years ago when I was with Avalon Bay Communities was, and it was one of my first real, you know, spending money to save money projects, was I had a 60-acre community that had 55 metal halogen streetlights. Metal halide streetlights. And what we did was I created an ROI analysis and went back to the organization and said, listen, by changing out these streetlights to LED, we had an ROI of about 8 months. That's how much money we were spending on electricity to run these streetlights during twilight hours. And it was so well received. It was a project that was featured in their corporate responsibility report that year. And, you know, we immediately started doing it at other properties across my general area. And then eventually, you know, out through the network of sites and communities where it was possible to do. So that's kind of how I first got into this topic. And that was, I want to say about 12, 13 years ago, was sometimes you have to spend money to save money. And you do. And that's how you do it.
All right. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to come back right after these messages with our next segment. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Hi, this is Paul Marks, host and producer of the Multifamily Matters radio show. I have on the phone with me a longtime multifamily industry veteran and the author of several books, the fabulous Gary Gregory. Gary, you just released a new book called The Super Fantastic Me. I've got my copy, but tell our multifamily industry audience why this book is so important to multifamily.
Hey, thanks, Paul. The Super Fantastic Me is a guide to help people curate their best version. And why is that important? Well, all too often we go through our workday on autopilot. I was guilty of it as a community manager, checking boxes and simply doing things. Now, once I discovered there was more, that I could bring more, my outlook and career changed. My book offers a life-changing exercise to curate your word or calling card, principles, and core values. This allows you to bring greater value to the room no matter the circumstance. And having a multifamily team that knows and shows their who, why, and how will be unbeatable.
Thanks, Gary. I recommend that everyone in the multifamily industry get their copy and one for each member of their team of The Super Fantastic Me. Order it on Amazon today.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the great topic of saving money on multifamily maintenance. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a sought-after speaker and trainer, the very insightful Chris Caramonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residential. Before we jump back into the topic, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to the archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Chris, in the last segment, we talked a lot about some of the things that we've had happen to us over the last several years across the country with the pandemic and inflation and the supply chain issues. And I know you want to talk in this segment about saving money on maintenance supplies, but obviously the supply chain issues and the inflation have affected those costs. So I'm sure our listeners really want to get some insight from you on how they can save money on maintenance supplies. What do you think about that?
So thanks for the question, Paul. You know, two weeks ago, I was down in Washington, D.C. at NAA's Advocate 2023. We were down there. It's a great opportunity for us to meet with other like-minded individuals in the multifamily industry, as well as meet with our local politicians about advocacy issues, both at, you know, on the local scale as well as a larger scale. And one of the things that I was thinking when I was down there was you always hear that politicians spend most of their terms in office raising money. Right. You watch shows like The West Wing and they're always on the phone and they're always, you know, schmoozing and trying to figure out how to make more money so they can stay in office. In our industry, property managers and maintenance supervisors and maintenance managers are spending most of their time figuring out how to save money so they can keep their operations running. It's very, very similar. So I wish I had a silver bullet, you know, because, you know, it would be very interesting if somebody could come up with the perfect way to save money. But there's a lot of things that I've noticed in our industry that sometimes, you know, I said a little bit earlier, you spend more money being cheap. And, you know, you got to really make sure that you're buying the correct materials for the job. So talked a little bit about my experience in the affordable housing industry. But even the market rate environment, we spend a lot of time when we're either building or rehabbing market or affordable on the finishes in the apartment. How do they look, right? But unfortunately, a lot of times there's not a lot of time and effort put into making sure that the correct materials are ordered and installed that'll extend the life of, you know, the apartment home that the people are living in. I'd say, you know, one of the things I always like to talk about when talking about this topic is the cheapest item isn't always the best item. You know, talked a little bit in the first segment about our, you know, big box specials that we also get to save money, right? You have two items on your shopping cart, or you're standing in the aisle at your local big box store, and you make a decision. And a lot of times that is financially driven. It just makes sense to order the cheapest thing. But when I'm out at a grocery store, I buy brand name. That's just how I am. Some people will buy the generic. Unfortunately, much to my wife's chagrin, I do buy the brand name items, right? But sometimes the brand name items are not as good as a generic, and there is a reverse relationship there.
You know, one of the things that I don't know if there's a way to do this, but I've seen in discussions I've had with folks where they've done something like they've put in some type of a property-wide conservation program where they've changed out fixtures and done things like that. And then due to the maintenance turnover of employees, or due to the maintenance turnover of the on-site manager or assistant manager, there's no guidance or guidelines in place when a year and a half, 2 years later, you need to replace something that's broken or needs to be repaired. And they go back in with that big box special, like you said, kind of defeating the purpose of what they were doing. So from a spend standpoint on saving money on, for instance, utilities, plus the fact, as you said, on ongoing maintenance, because it's not going to have the same life as a higher grade fixture. What advice can you give people to do, because you have that turnover of employees, to make sure there's some standards in place so that a year and a half later, a new maintenance person doesn't go out and get the cheapest thing?
Yeah, I think that, you know, especially in that area, Paul, I think it's really important that you have to buy like, right? That if, you know, somebody put in a special type of fill valve into your toilets, there is a reason. And while it may be the cheapest option to get the big box special, that it is not the best option. That somebody spent a lot of time on an owner side or even an operator side making the decision to do that. So in those cases, it's really important to get like items. You know, if for the developers that are listening in, or for the owners that are about to get a rehab or in process of putting together a rehab, one of the things I can't stress enough is while it may be the cheapest option to buy 100 fridges that are going to be going out of, that are basically being discontinued. There's a real problem with that. You know, while it may be the cheapest option to get flooring or even paint that is no longer going to be in production, because you're able to buy it in a volume discount, that causes a lot of issues for operators as we move through the life cycle of that unit or that property, is that once those items are discontinued, you can't buy parts, you can't get replacements. And then what you're doing is you're replacing an entirely new, you know, you're replacing a brand new piece of equipment, for lack of a better term, within say 2 to 3 years with something else brand new, because you can't buy the parts anymore. And unfortunately, it's something I see quite frequently, both on the market and the affordable side, when new properties are built or rehab.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the ways that operators can save money, no matter how big or small. What are some of your suggestions?
So I think one of the easiest and first things to do is really look at what you have in your apartment homes, right? And say that some of the cheapest items that you can get are a lot of the low-touch items that residents don't have a lot of interaction with on a regular basis. I'm okay ordering the cheapest, outlet or the cheapest exhaust fan. But when it comes to some of the higher-touch items, faucets and toilets and appliances, things that people use multiple times a day, you got to be very careful with the quality of the product that you're using. Well, let's look at faucets. So cheaper faucets definitely have a lower replacement cost, but residents use them, like I said, numerous times a day. You may have to repair or replace more than an expensive faucet. If you spent a little bit more money on a faucet, you're going to get much longer life out of it. And if you're getting a longer life out of, something as simple as a faucet, you're avoiding labor costs to go back and make a repair or replace it. You're usually cutting down on your utility bills, because water sometimes, not all the time, but usually higher cost faucets are WaterSense certified. They have a lower gallon per minute, which reduces your utilities.
And
does that make sense, Paul?
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's not just faucets then. What are some of the other things they could do? And we've got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah. So, it goes a lot of conservation programs. It's all about the water, right? So another perfect example is literally flushing your money down the toilet with buying the wrong flapper or the fill valve for a toilet. So you could very easily purchase a $3 flapper or a $15 fill valve from that big box special store. But what you're doing is you could really be literally flushing money down the toilet on a regular basis, hundreds if not thousands of dollars in water usage or damages due to leaks that a resident doesn't report, or leaks in a subsequent unit, below or an adjacent unit. It's something you got to really look at. And that's why, going back to the top of the segment, we were talking about the, replace what is there, especially when it comes to low flow fixtures. When you're talking about toilets and faucets, replace what's there. Don't buy the cheapest off the rack.
Yeah, and one thing that some of our listeners may not be aware of is that I attended a virtual seminar about a year ago by one of the major billing companies in the industry, and where they were talking about conservation, and they said that about 65% of water consumption comes on a multifamily property from the toilet. So if you can make that more efficient, obviously you can save quite a bit of money. We got about a minute left, a little bit over a minute left. Let's talk about turnovers. Or when you're turning an apartment, what are some of the things you can do?
Yeah, I think one of the single biggest costs that we have as an industry on turnovers is usually paint. Paint has gotten extremely more expensive post-COVID. And we found what I have found, and I've worked all different types of paints in my time, my 20 years in the industry, is while it doesn't look the nicest, flat paint inside a unit on a wall is much easier to touch up and will reduce your full paint costs at turnover. And some, especially smaller operators who don't have a lot of time or money, there's a real opportunity there to really make sure that you're using not only the correct paint, whether the correct paint finish, whether it's a flat or an eggshell or a semi-gloss, but actually a higher quality, in a lot of cases, a higher quality paint. Last few years, we have seen the major major paint suppliers have come out with primer already built into the paint. That is very effective. That can also save you a lot of money. So you're spending more money to save more money at the end.
There you go. We're going to leave it here for this segment. We're going to be back with our next segment right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Rev. The Multifamily Leasing Company is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book Rev's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let Rev drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress. Stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let Rev be your long-term leasing solution. Go to RevLMC.com to find out more. That's RevLMC.com. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today.
Looking for a solution to balance your assets? Tired of wasted time managing your day-to-day bookkeeping, buggy software implementations, inaccurate financials? Or maybe you're worried about a pending audit. Would you like more time to focus on revenue-generating activities versus accounting administrative activities? Here at Balanced Asset Solutions, we are a CPA firm that specializes in property management platforms, including Yardi and Appfolio. You can reach Balanced Asset Solutions now at 619-415-6826. Go visit our website at www.balancedassetsolutions.com. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of saving money on multifamily maintenance. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after speaker and trainer, the fabulous Chris Caramonica, Director of Facilities at Wynn Residential. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Happico, multifamily solutions to smile about. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security needs. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. Balanced Asset Solutions. Don't delay. Call Balanced Asset Solutions today. DirecTV, the ultimate entertainment experience, is now available to all multifamily residents. Smart Apartment Data, the most comprehensive and up-to-date intelligence on the multifamily industry. And CTS, Complete Technology Solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Chris, we kind of touched on the first segment on some of the issues that people are having with maintenance staffing. And during the break, you said that that's always a hot topic on our show, and it is, because there's a need out there for it. But talk about how can you save money with maintenance staffing?
Oh, that is a loaded question. Again, wish I had a silver bullet. I don't think it's so much about saving money with your maintenance staff. What we're seeing is we've been talking about this for the last few years. It's gotten exponentially worse, unfortunately. I personally have done the last two apartmentalized sessions about staffing. And about retaining staff, and doing a third one this coming apartmentalized, which we'll talk about a little bit later. But a lot of owners and operators are starting to see a diminishing workforce when it comes to maintenance professionals. We're seeing 50% turnover levels, whereas historically it was in the 30s or the low 30s. And unfortunately, our labor pool in this country when it comes to hands-on maintenance labor is diminishing. It is not being taught as much in schools anymore, or it's only being taught in very, in rural areas or certain areas of the country where it's much more of a focus. But we're also experiencing a housing shortage in this country. And a lot of owners and operators are trying to meet the demands of housing, but we do not have the maintenance professionals to basically fill those needs at those new apartment communities that are being built or that need to be developed to address the housing shortage.
Yeah. And I mean, the turnover rate, I've heard you would probably be more up to date on it, but I had heard that the turnover rate in maintenance was over 55% or somewhere in that range. Is that what you're seeing?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what we're seeing. And one of the key factors is that, there's a lot of key factors, but a lot of people are leaving for, you know, they're getting out of the industry altogether, which is a real shame. Cause we are, as all of your listeners know, we're a great industry to be working in. But what they're doing is they're going to vendors. They're going to contractors. There's a lot of reasons that that's happening. Pay is one of them. We're really starting to see industry numbers are starting to increase. Current pay rates and hourly wages are starting to go up, incrementally across the U.S. in for the labor market. It's, unfortunately, though, it's more out of need than, paying for the skilled labor that we actually need and addressing the pay gap that we currently have for maintenance professionals.
What are some
does
of
that answer? Yeah, that answer your question.
It does. We got about 6 minutes left in this segment, but I wanted to ask you, what are your ideas on how we can attract and retain good maintenance folks, and in turn, can it reduce our costs?
Yeah. So, attraction and retention is really the most important, two of the most important key things right now. And I just mentioned that, we're increasing, pay rates and salaries, which is great. But one of the things that I've seen diminish a little bit, I'm talking to some of my friends in the industry, and again, recently as an advocate, is one of the main reasons that a lot of maintenance professionals stay with, at an organization is because of housing. They live and work in the communities that they service or at the communities that they service. I was recently on a tour with an asset manager and, I think Paul, I've heard many times on your show, and I know we'll talk about it a little bit, is how did you get into this industry? Mm-hmm. That was a conversation that I had with this asset manager who I had known for a few years. And he said, he was, college graduate, he was out of a job. Him and his girlfriend had moved into an apartment community and went downstairs. And the property manager said to him, you want a job, and hired him as a leasing consultant. And it was, a good job. And it also came with a steep discount on an apartment that he was already renting. And I said to him, this came right out of my mouth. I said, that's where we get you. We get you into housing.
Yeah.
It is our business. Why aren't we attracting more people to our roles through what we already have? And that ties back into spending money to save money. We're spending money by not making money on that unit that, a maintenance professional is living in, but we're going to save so much more. We're saving by calling, not having to call a vendor because we have a maintenance technician or a supervisor that lives on site. We're increasing resident satisfaction because we're much quicker and faster in responding to issues that residents are having.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that somebody could probably easily do, especially on larger properties where there's a great number of units, probably a lot of vacancy. So, that would be, that's a great idea. Tell us a little bit.
Unfortunately.
Go ahead.
Unfortunately, Paul, sorry. So unfortunately, a lot of people, a lot of sites are thinking about increasing their income, increasing their bottom line. And how are they doing that? They're getting rid of that housing and putting that unit back online and renting it out, and that's increasing their income. But there is a real, detriment, not just to their community, but also to the, a key item that we can offer people as they walk through the door. Oh, you can live, here at a discounted rate or at for free.
Okay. All right. We've got about 3 minutes left. I want to, in this segment, I wanted to ask you about training. Why is that important, and can it help to save money?
Yes, absolutely. And this is another area where you have to spend money to save money. A lot of organizations are putting in very robust training programs. With National Apartment Association, we have the CAMT certification, and we're starting to see a lot of, training coming back. Obviously COVID put a real damper on in-person trainings, shoulder-to-shoulder trainings. We're starting to really see a comeback. But what we need to do is we need to get people in the door and we need to train them. It costs more to not train somebody than it does to train them at the end of the day. When you bring somebody in and you're training them on how to make repairs at your community, to, you know, teach them a new skill. What you're doing is you're building a loyalty between yourself and that team member. But what you're also doing is you're going to drive down your costs. The more you can train somebody on how to replace a water heater or repair a faucet or repair an appliance at your property, you are going to drive down your cost of repair and cost of replacement because you don't need to go to a third party. And a lot of sites and communities are, you know, it's like, we don't have the time. But how can you not? You know, you don't have the money to make those repairs, but time doesn't cost as much. You need to spend that time to make sure that your team members are trained, and that will eventually drive your costs down. And in addition to help retain those people that you are putting so much time and effort into.
And I would imagine you would know this, but I would imagine that the maintenance personnel out there are hungry for training. They probably would welcome that opportunity.
It is one of the most common things that come up on company engagement surveys. I've seen engagement surveys from Swift Bunny and my company's internal engagement surveys, as well as Kingsley Solutions. And it is a constant. People want to be trained. People want to be better at their jobs. People want to, you know, maintenance professionals really do want to save you money, really do want to save their owners and operators money. They care. And the best way they know that they can do that is train me how to do something. If you train me how to do it, you know, the old teach a man to fish,
right,
adage works the same way with maintenance. And they don't want to ask anybody for help. They want to fix it themselves. So spend the money and the time to train them on it.
All right. Well, we are going to break it here. We are going to be back with our final segment of this episode right after this short break. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Say goodbye to pen and paper processes, labor shortages, and unhappy residents, and say hello to HappyCo, the only multifamily platform that supports every stage of your property lifecycle. Improve your portfolio with Happy Asset, the ROI-driving asset optimization solution for owners, acquisition directors, and asset managers. Manage your portfolio with Happy Property, a suite of intuitive tools that streamline operations, empower teams, and delight residents. Service your portfolio with Happy Force, an always-on remote maintenance workforce for multifamily specialists designed to increase resident satisfaction. Happy Co. Multifamily solutions to smile about. For more information, visit the website at happy.co.
SMART is a national multifamily research and analytics company providing market, property, and floor plan level data to track performance, evaluate competitive strategies, and identify potential investment opportunities. Their innovative web-based software and mobile application contains extensive searchable inventory of granular historical data, floor plan by floor plan rents, concessions, and availabilities for enhanced analysis and forecasting. For more information or to sign up for a free trial, go to smartapartmentdata.com.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, coming to you exclusively from the Smart Apartment Data Studio. And we're discussing the topic of saving money on multifamily maintenance. I'm Paul Marks. Joining by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after speaker and trainer, the awesome Chris Caramonica, Director of Facilities with Wynn Residential. So, Chris, we talked in the last segment about staffing. And we touched in the first segment a little bit on a topic that I think our listeners should understand kind of the background of preventative maintenance and what's happened in multifamily over the last several years due to the pandemic with the normal preventative maintenance that would have been done. Talk a little bit about what you found.
Yeah, so we spoke about this last time we spoke, Paul, but preventive maintenance is, again, always another hot topic in our industry and with maintenance professionals. It's something that everyone knows that they should be doing, but they're either not doing it or they just can't get out of their own way to get it started. And the pandemic really put a hamper on that, I think, for a lot of people. Sites that communities that were regularly doing the preventative maintenance went a year, in some cases two, without regularly going into apartments and doing some of the basic things to help keep costs low and to help increase resident satisfaction. I think that when I started in this industry, probably about 15 years ago, I started in multifamily, and I didn't know any of the terms that we're talking about today. I didn't know what preventative maintenance was. I just knew that I kept getting on calls three or four times a week that would wake my wife and I up, and it was because there was a smoke detector battery beeping in an apartment in my little 100-unit community. So I said, well, that's a real pain in my butt. So I went out and I bought the 200 batteries that I needed. There was two smoke detectors per apartment. And I emailed all of the residents and I said, I'm going to come on such and such a day and I'm going to come and do that. And that was my first foray into preventive maintenance. I realized there was a term for it. Then from there, I added air conditioning filters. Why? Because it was the time of year and people were putting in requests to have them replaced. I didn't realize that community had never gone through preventive maintenance. It was a 5-year-old community. Nobody had ever done it. Mm. So that's where I started, and that's where I think that we need to start. If you are listening, if you oversee a site, if you're a maintenance supervisor or property manager, that's where you start. Start small. And if you start small, you spend the money now, you will save that money later. I can promise you. I know from personal experience.
Tell us, what did you see are some of the consequences by not being able to enter apartments during COVID as far as preventative maintenance goes? What did that mean later?
Yeah, so what it did was it put a lot more wear and tear on equipment inside an apartment. So let's look at your dryer vents, right? So dryer vents should be cleaned, fairly regularly. And people are starting to see, if you have in-unit dryers, that many communities do these days, that what it was doing is it was causing more wear and tear, because without an annual preventative maintenance to clean those dryer vents, the dryers are working harder, right? And if they're working harder, they're overheating. And if they're overheating, parts might wear down to a point where it either is A, not going to operate anymore, or even, worst case scenario, they're a fire hazard, right? So unfortunately, we have seen an increase in appliance failures. Another example is air conditioning units, because your AC filters weren't being changed on a regular basis. You're seeing more, lots of people are starting to see more coil freeze-ups. They were starting to see, reduction of resident satisfaction, unfortunately, which is a cost of our business. If residents aren't happy, that is a huge cost. But we're also seeing coils, because filters weren't replaced, coils were getting dirtier. So we're spending more time to repair the sins of the past because of COVID, and that's costing us more money. So we need to get out back in the field and be doing that. It's April 2023. Get back in the field and start those PMs if you haven't already is really one of the big things I hope I can leave everybody with today.
All right. We've got about 8 minutes left. I want to transition to something else in about three minutes or so. Let's talk a little bit about capital projects and how that can help to save money.
Yeah, it's another area where a lot of places, property managers and even maintenance supervisors a little penny wise and pound foolish. When budgets are written, there's usually a separate line item or separate line items for your capital projects. That could be anything from your repaving of a parking lot to purchasing sump pumps that are at the end of their life, changing streetlights. We were talking about streetlights earlier. There's any number of things that could be part of your capital improvement program at the site. Unfortunately, what I found is a lot of on-site team members, as well as some owners, who think it's a way to save money. Oh, we'll defer that. We'll defer that one more year. You have the money, you've budgeted the money, but by deferring it, what you're doing is it's going to cost you more later. And it's going to cost you in a couple different ways. One of them, which is probably the most important, is, and we talked about it at the top, is cost of goods is going up and the cost of labor is going up. So the $100,000 project this year to replace a roof is going to be $115,000 next year. It's going to be $120,000 next year if you don't do it now. In addition, there's the unseen cost. Let's say you don't replace that roof this year as you had it budgeted because you want to say that you saved $100,000. Well, what if you have a leak in the next 12 months because you were supposed to replace it in April? You say, we're going to do it next April. You know, that leak can cost you a significant, you know, amount of damage. And then you might end up doing it anyway. You might have to replace that roof anyway following, you know, a major leak or a major failure of that roofing system.
Yeah, and capital projects are something that typically are done, are discussed and laid out during budget season, which is only a few months away. And it's something that putting that little caveat on it of how can we do capital projects that ultimately are going to help to save us money, I think is something that maybe is a question that should be always asked, is how is this going to help us down the road?
You mentioned budget season. You know, it's like, I think I said a little bit earlier, politicians are always, you know, raising money, and multifamily operators are always talking about budget season, even though it, you know, budget season lasts 11 months now, right? You finalize your budget and you spend it for a month, and then you're figuring out, you know, what your budget for next year is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing repros or, you know, your reprojections of your budget and, you know, based on your spending. You know, I can't stress enough, if you are budgeting for something, spend it. If you don't spend it, you will lose it.
Yeah.
And if you're losing it, it's going to cost you more money in the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I'll tell you what, we could talk about this topic for another two segments, but I wanted to transition and kind of ask you a little bit, share with our listeners a little bit about you and your background, what you're working on. I know you're very, very active with NAA. Let's talk a little bit about you.
Sure. So, you know, I have the same story that a lot of people have. I did not, walk out of school and directly into the multifamily industry. I walked out of school and I walked into the off-Broadway and Broadway theater industry. For your listeners, I actually live and work in the New York City metro area. So, you know, I worked off-Broadway with Blue Man Group for, 4 or 5 years, moved on to Broadway and was a facility manager for a Broadway theater owner. And then we had an economic downturn in 2008. And that was an opportunity for me to go into something a little bit different, you know, different new opportunity. And, you know, multifamily housing and real property management is really what I was looking at, you know, and that's why I've been in this industry now, you know, 15 years. I've had the privilege and honor of working for two really great organizations, Avalon Bay Communities, first several years, and I've been with Wynn Residential and Wynn Communities going on 8 years now as their director of facilities for New York City, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania.
Well, those are two good, great companies, very well respected and well known in the industry. Tell me a little bit about what you're doing with NAA and what your role is there.
Yeah, so you know, it was just before the pandemic, I decided I wanted to get a little bit more involved outside of my organization. Thankfully, my Wynn Companies and Wynn Residential was excellent in allowing me to spread my wings outside of my day-to-day job and volunteer. So I started volunteering with NAA. I was part of the first ever fully remote leadership Lyceum class with NAA in 2020. I was at Advocate in 2020 when COVID shut everything down. And then I started getting involved with the CAMT Advisory Board. I'm on several other committees with the National Apartment Association. I've been on the Next Gen Committee. I am on the NAAEI Operations the NAAEI Program Administration and Curriculum Development Committee. And this year, I have the honor of being the vice chairperson of the Operations Committee. And we're doing some amazing stuff. And maybe in a future call, Paul, you and I can talk about some of the great things that the Operations Committee is doing. And you know, I do want to give a plug for next week. The 17th to the 21st is NAA's RPM Career Week. So there's opportunities to enter contests by spotlighting team members, your maintenance team members, and your communities. And so, you know, plug for your listeners that are listening to this week to check that out.
Yeah, that's true. That's fantastic. And of course, encouraging all of our listeners to, if they can, attend Departmentalize, which this year will be in Atlanta. I think it's June 7th through the 9th, if I've got my dates correct. That's close to it.
Yeah, that's correct.
And, you know, one of the highlights of going is always seeing you and your cohorts like Paul Rhodes. So looking forward to seeing you there in just a couple of months. But, Chris.
Yeah, I'd love everybody to come out. The session I'm doing this year is actually called Dirty Jobs, training the next generation of maintenance professionals. It's going to be on first day of Apartmentalize on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great session. I'm also going to be facilitating an open space session, which is a great thing that Apartmentalize started a few years ago, which is where, you know, attendees can just come and talk about topics of the day and come up with some brainstorming ideas that they can take back to their, you know, local communities and affiliates.
Real quick, we've got about 20 seconds left. If someone wanted to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, the best way to get in touch with me is via LinkedIn. My last name is Caramonica, so it's Chris Caramonica. I'm available on LinkedIn. I'll respond to all messages and requests.
All right, fantastic. Chris, thanks so much for being here. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.